It's all the negative going on in the world, and I don't really have to speak those negatives. I think we all know them. You can't turn on the news without hearing bashing and slamming and wars and rumors of wars, just like Jesus foretold in Matthew 24. But we look at all those things, and sometimes it just becomes overwhelming. And I know that I have shared quite a few things about those issues and the news. And even in our own lives, our personal lives, we go through things that seem to weigh us down and cause us to not be very joyful. You know, the Bible tells us that we should have joy and, you know, over and abundant. And yet, and we find ourselves walking through this life just wondering what in the world. In fact, we were talking with somebody the other day, and they said, yeah, I mean, I listen to this, and it just makes me want to cut my wrists. Yeah, that's not a good thing. But that's kind of the thing that happens to us. We get discouraged, we get depressed, we get, you know, out of sorts. We don't think straight. Well, I'm going to share good news. You know, the gospel is good news. It's called good news. And in the scriptures, there's all kinds of good news. But we just kind of skip over it, or we don't remember it, or we get wrapped up in all the things that are going on in this life and have a tendency to just let it go. We get complacent and all that. Well, so I want you to go to Matthew 11, 1486 in the Pew Bible, Matthew 11, 1486 in the Pew Bibles, Matthew 11, starting verse 28. Jesus is talking here, and in verse 28 he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow. I mean, that doesn't sound like a taskmaster. That doesn't sound like he wants us to struggle through our lives. It sounds like he wants to give us the ability to stand up under those things that come upon us. He wants us to rely on Him, and He will ease the load. You know, I had an image quite a while back of that yoke, and I want you to image that in your mind. It's a yoke with two spots. You know, it's that big wooden thing that goes across the backs of the animals, the oxen usually, and then there are two spots, one for one ox, another for another ox. There's two ox involved in pulling the wagon or pulling the load. And Jesus used this illustration for a reason. Because what they would do is they put the veteran ox on one side and the young ox on the other side. And so as they would pull, the older and more veteran ox would be teaching the younger one how to pull, how to share the load. You know, the young ox is wanting to charge ahead. You know, I remember when I was young and frisky, and some of you remember those days too. You know, when you back in your teens and twenties, you know, and how you were like conquer the world and do whatever, and you're charging ahead. I remember we'd hike in the woods. My parents would be hiking, and we'd be like a mile ahead of them. You know, and they'd always be yelling, you know, "Where are you? What are you doing?" You know, and at one point we really got in trouble. And my dad listens to my sermon, so everything I say, he hears what I tell, you know, and I've had that. And so, Dad, here you go. But but anyway, we hiked way ahead, and we walked across this log that had fallen on a rock across a waterfall. And there was a rock out in the middle of the waterfall, and there was a log on top of it. And my brother and I walked across it and stood on the rock in the middle of this waterfall. Look at us, you know, And about 200 feet down is the bottom of the waterfall. And we're dancing around out there, and my dad said, "Get back there right away," you know. And so we walked back, and I didn't know it, but my mom was behind the tree crying her eyes out because she thought we were going to die. And my brother and I didn't think anything of it. And we're like that. We don't think anything of it. We just want to charge ahead. We want to go for it. And the veteran off says, don't get so frustrated. Don't get so antsy. Don't try and do everything at one time. Yeah, I talk to a lot of younger people, and they say, you know, I'm getting older and older, and I haven't found anybody in my life. Believe me, you got time. You know, 62, right, when we got married? Yeah, 62. 59? Wow, I was even younger than I thought. I'll be 63, yeah, that's right. Wow, time flies. I was a whippersnapper back then. You see what I mean? We're thinking that life has passed us by. Doers, what, 75? 6? 76, wow. Guy, and now engaged. Did you know that? He's engaged now. Yeah. Is that great? You know, we rush through life because we want to go fast. We want to get things done now. And Jesus is saying, slow down. Don't do it all at once. You got time. Let me share the load with you. Let me help you. Let me teach you. And he says here, he says, I'm gentle and humble in heart. I'm not going to whip you. I'm not going to make you charge ahead. I want you to learn how to take things one day at a time. How to take things as they come. And he says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't mean we don't have a yoke. It doesn't mean we don't have a burden. Right? Because he doesn't say, I'm going to take your burden away. I'm going to take your yoke away. He says, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Why? Because he helps you. Because he's right there with you. You don't have to shoulder it alone. And it's cool because he says, you know, that he's gentle and humble, and you'll find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. How many of you really have been wondering, you know, where is that rest? You know, I remember the other day, it was a few days ago, and it's just like things were frantic and just running and wanted, gotten to do this and got to do that. And I just came to my mind and I thought, what am I doing? Because, you know, you're going to wear out before you get older. And yeah, Kathy is looking at me. I need this so much. You know, as we were raising Jonathan, we try to help him with something, and he'd say, I can do it by myself. We know that. All our kids did that. We did that when we were kids, didn't we? Leave me alone. I can do it. Mom would come over and try to help you and say, Mom, I'm 10 years old. Ooh, 10. Wow. We talk about Bella, you know, and she just turned 7. 7 going on 14. You know that age. You know, because we get this pride in us. We get this, you know, I'm going to do this. And I remember somebody told me one time, they said, you know, don't bother God with the small stuff. He doesn't want to hear that. Just talk to him when you have some really major things. I said, that's not what the Bible says. He wants to be involved in every part of our lives. He wants to help us through our lives in every small detail. He wants to know us and us to know Him and be a part and let Him guide us and show us all the time, every minute. I want us to go to another scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, 1851 in your pew Bibles, 1851, 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 6, 1851 in the pew Bibles. It says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." You know, as it goes down farther, it talks about, you know, the devil and how he goes around like a roaring lion looking for those to devour. Well, you know what happens? I want to talk about anxiety a little bit. You know, because it talks about humbling yourselves. You know that it takes humility to seek God. Because if you're all proud and everything, and I can do this by myself, and I'm on my own, and God don't get involved in my life because I'm going to do it, and I don't want you to show me because I'm going to do it. You know, if you're all like that, then you're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulty. Because you need to humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that then He lifts you up. He will lift you up. That's awkward to our thinking. You know, it's like when He said the first will be last and the last will be first. I mean, that just blows us away because we're thinking world, philosophy, what we are taught in school. You know, top dog. You know, we all played King of the Hill, right? You stand on the top of the hill and throw everybody down. You know, I'm the guy. I'm the master. And that's the way we're thinking. But God's telling us, humble yourself and I'll exalt you. I like that better because He is God Almighty, Creator of the universe. And when He exalts somebody, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So He tells you that. Then He says, cast all your anxiety on Him. Anxiety. I looked it up. You know, internet is good for some things. And they have this thing called Wikipedia. Anybody, I'm sure most of you have looked at that kind of times. And they had a thing, anxiety, on Wikipedia. So I clicked on that. And it tells you what it is. And it had a picture of somebody who had anxiety. And I thought, wow, I don't ever want to look like that. The drawn out face, all, you know, mad looking, and looked like they were about ready to die, you know. And they were all, that said, that's the picture of anxiety. And here's the definition they gave. It's emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil and dread. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? I mean, that makes you want to go, oh. But it's an emotion, unpleasant state of inner turmoil, dread. It's not the same as fear, it said. It's an expectation of future threat. It's where you're like always looking around, what's going to happen next? We watch this program on TV called Alone. Anybody ever watch that? Alone, it's on History Channel. They throw these people, 7 or 10 of them, out in the wilderness alone. They got cameras and they can film themselves, but they're totally alone and they have just a satellite phone that they can beep and tap out, they call it, when they've had enough. And there was one guy that we were watching this program, and he... This guy, he was real smart. He pitched his tent. You know, they have these things they can put, tarps and whatever. He put it right in the middle of a place that had all these trails and bear scat everywhere. So he's on the main trail of bear. And he puts his place there. And so, of course, he wakes up. He's like, there's a bear over there. There's a bear over there. Beep! He tapped out. It was the first day. Most people last 60 days, you know. This guy, one day, I'm not going to mess with any bear. anxiety. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't rest. He was thinking about the threat, the imminent threat that a bear is going to be eating him that night. And he tapped out right away because he couldn't sleep. He couldn't rest. He couldn't. That's what anxiety does to you. Anxiety wears you out. It wears on you. You can't think of anything else. You're all tired and you're all beat up because you're anxious. You're thinking something's going to happen. There's this dread. There's this inner problem. This inner, not even a fear. It's this turmoil in you. And it wears you out. Well, here in verse 7, it says, cast all your anxiety on Him. Cast all your anxiety on Him. It's not like this or that or that. It's all of it. All your anxiety. Everything you're feeling dread about. Everything you're feeling worried about. Anything that you feel threatened by. Cast it on Him. Cast out. Like we travel a lot. And we always hear about, you know, there's an attack over here, there's an attack over there. It doesn't stop us from traveling. We like to travel. We could let dread and fear and the threat of whatever is in our future, we could let that bother us. But you know what? God has us in His hands. Cast all your anxiety on Him. It's like casting a net into the water to catch fish. That's exactly the imagery. Casting the net. You don't cast half the net into the water, do you? You cast it all into the water. You want to catch lots of fish. Anxiety is holding part of that net back and keeping it and not throwing that rest of it. Cast it all on Him. Because, why? He cares for you. He cares for you. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, 1787 in your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 4. She's getting into it, I'm telling you, that's good. Keep on listening. Yeah. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 8. It says, And let me back. Let me give you a little backdrop, a little bit of a imagery on this. Paul's writing this from prison. From prison. If anybody has any anxiety or has a right to anxiety, it would be Paul, because he's in prison and he's in stocks and he's prisons aren't like we have jails. I mean, they're not anything like that. They're just like hewn out of stone, might be a cave, and they just put a wall in front of it. They're nasty places. Damp, dark, they don't even throw anything down for you. You're on hard rock, and then there's the rats. Yeah, and we have mice. I heard about people used to go to the dump and shoot rats, but they have rats. They have big rats. They're like little cats. And little puppies, that's how big these rats are. And if you fall asleep really soundly, they'll nibble on you. That's what they were thinking. And so Paul, you think that he could have anxiety? Yeah, I think so. This unpleasant feeling, this dread. But no, he writes in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Wow. That's a little different. When you should be feeling anxiety, when you should be feeling, oh my goodness, it's like this guy was going to get on a plane and all of a sudden he had this feeling, overwhelming feeling, the plane's going to crash. You know what I would do? I'd get on the plane. Because I got a ticket. And I'm not going to waste the ticket. And I'm going where I'm going to go. And I'm getting on the plane and I'm going to sleep and relax on the plane. Maybe pull out your Bible and read Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. My life is in God's hands. My life can be ended anytime. It could be on a plane. It could not be on a plane. It could be anywhere. But my life is in God's hands, so I'm not going to worry about it. You know, what good does worry? You know, it might be Satan trying to keep me off that plane because maybe there's going to be somebody on the plane that needs to know about the Lord. And I won't get on that plane and that eliminates me and Satan checks me off his list. Well, got him out of there. You see, we can't be ruled by anxiety. And it says, cast it on the Lord and let Him have it. Because it's His, it's not mine. And it says here, rejoice in Him always. And Paul says it again, rejoice. People should see us getting on a plane, even if we see the engine smoking. And they should see us get on the plane with a smile on our face. In the service, we flew from Washington State, from Tacoma, and we flew to Florida for some training exercises and things. And we're flying along. I'm looking out the window at the engine, and all this oil is running across the wing. And I'm thinking, wow, that's interesting. We got to Florida, and the guy had this 5-gallon jug of oil pouring it in the engine. So we stood out there on the flight line, and I said, hey, how much oil is that going to take? The whole thing. How much does the engine hold? The whole thing. It was out of oil when we got to Florida. That's how much oil it used. So you think there's pollution out there? Let me tell you. You can be anxious about that too, if you want. Pollution and global warming and you know, storms and tornadoes and hurricanes and whatever. So what? One day we had a service here and big old storm came and the sirens went off and it was a tornado and Shauna at the time she said, what are we gonna do? I said, die. What are you gonna do? There's nowhere to go. If a tornado decides to rip into the church, it's taking it all. You know, so, hey, you know what? Hallelujah, we're in heaven then. You know, we waste too much time in anxiety and worry. John 4:4 says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Do you believe it or not? You know, that's why we can say, just like this says the author's anonymous, but let's attribute it to David in Psalm 148. We read a portion of it, 1 through 6, this morning. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord from heaven! Praise Him from the heights above! Praise Him, all His angels! Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts! Praise Him, sun and moon! Praise Him, all your shining stars! Praise You, the highest heavens! And waters above the sky, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning, hail, snow, clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains, all hills, fruit trees, cedars, wild animals, all cattle, small creatures, flying birds, kings of the earth, and all nations, you princes, all rulers of the earth, young men, maidens, old men, children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why not? He's praiseworthy. He's given us all. So the question is, before I close, the question is, are you struggling? Do you have a problem with anxiety, with worry, with strife, with things that weigh down on you, that are dragging you down? Let's get rid of it right now. You know, we're going to sing this last song, Because He Lives. We're going to sing that. And I don't do this very often, but I felt God wanted me to do it today. And that's if anybody of you, anyone, needs prayer. I don't care what it's for, whatever you need. If you need prayer, I got a couple ladies, a couple guys to be up here as well. And, you know, as we're singing that song, you come up here and get prayer. Get prayer for whatever it is. If it's anxiety, we want to pray that out of here. If it's salvation, we want to see you come to Christ. Because without Christ, there's no one to cast it on. You got to have Jesus in your life to be able to cast that anxiety on Him. So if you don't have Christ, you need Him. If you're struggling, you know, with whatever it is, health, situation outside, whatever it might be, come get some prayer. Because prayer is the power that we are given by God to change things, to change our hearts, to make us different. And that's what we want to give Him. We want to let Him shoulder the load with us, to make the burden light, to make it easy. So let's all stand and we're going to sing this song, and then I'm going to close in prayer afterwards. If anybody's up here or whatever happens, we're going to